number of emerging diseases in the last several decades have really reinforced that you cannot look at these issues separately. You cannot look at issues of a growing human population on this planet and a growing livestock population as well, and a lot of changes in the landscape and effects on wildlife habitat. You cannot look at this separately. You have to look at it in a more holistic way. So if you think about diseases like SARS, which came out of a wildlife source, avian influenza, you can't just look at the pigs or just look at the chickens or just look at the people. You have to look at how we're all interacting on an increasingly crowded planet.
So those are some examples of infectious diseases, essentially bugs that jump species. Are there other kinds of health concerns that kind of come at this intersection between human, animal, and environmental health?
Yes. It often turns out that animals, because of their unique susceptibility to other hazards besides infectious agents, such as toxic chemicals in the environment, are often more exposed than humans are. Animals often have a shorter lifespan and shorter time between having different generations that you could see an effect such as cancer in an animal before you would see it in a human. So it's the whole concept of a canary in the coal mine. If we only monitor the humans, we're going to miss this kind of very important signal.
So, of course, this new venture, you got a great big grant in collaboration with other researchers at Washington State University and elsewhere to study some of the ways that these paradigms intersect in Kenya.
Well, the area of Kenya that we're talking about is typical of many parts of the developing world where people are living very closely with domestic animals. And therefore, there's potential for sharing of microorganisms between the animals and the people.
And it sounds like it's not just the sheep gets a cold that a person can get or something like that. You're actually looking at the colonies that make their homes inside of the both human and non-human animals here, right?
Yes, and one of the current frontiers for science is understanding the types of bacteria and other organisms, which we call the microbiome, in our gut, on our skin, in our mouth. But what this grant is looking at is how much sharing of microbiome can occur between people and animals living in close proximity. And if this sharing is in any way related to problems with the microbiome sort of becoming out of balance, and when it is out of balance in the gut of infants, especially in the developing world, it affects their ability to absorb nutrients and leads to malnutrition.
Obviously, that's a pretty interesting thing to take a look at in a place like rural Kenya. I mean, how big of a problem is malnutrition in the area that you're going to be doing your work?
The rates of malnutrition are up sometimes 30-40% in children less than 5 years old. So it's a huge problem. And the question is, what can you do about it? Because it turns out that when you get alterations in the microbiome, their ability to absorb nutrients is very much affected. And even if you give them nutritional supplements, they are often unable to really gain the weight and get the nutrition that they need because the microbial composition of their intestines is not able to support their absorbing this nutrition.
So this paradigm is leading you to look at an intervention. You're talking about what to do about it, an intervention that doesn't even necessarily touch the child in this case, but maybe touches the animal that touches the child.
We think that some of the livestock microbiomes may also be abnormal. And our idea is that if you potentially treat the animal to help change the flora of their intestines.
You're going to give them yogurt?
I'm going to work with the veterinarians on this project about how best to change their microbiomes. But if we're able to do that, would that potentially spill over to an improvement in the microbiomes of the children as well and an improvement in the nutritional status of the children as well? So this whole concept of One Health is that sometimes helping the animals may be a way to help the people, sometimes helping the people may be a way to help the animals, and that we're looking for sort of win-win solutions that ideally benefit both the humans and the animals and the environment.
Well, Peter Rabinowitz is an associate professor in the Department of Environmental and Occupational Health Sciences here at the University of Washington, and that's where he also directs the new Human-Animal Medicine Project. Dr. Rabinowitz, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.